It's time to enter the world of real estate in Oahu with Hawaii's only true real estate radio show, the Team Lally Real Estate Show. Grab a pen and get ready to take notes. For the next full hour, Hawaii's premier real estate leader, Adrienne Lally, and Attilio Leonardi will bring you the latest in real estate news and real-world strategies on how they can guarantee to sell your home at a price and deadline you agree to, or they'll buy it. Now, here are your hosts, Adrienne and Attilio.
Welcome to the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the Guaranteed Sold program, or we'll buy it. If you have any questions, you can give us a call at 799-9596 or check us out online at teamlally.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Attilio, and right now we are going to be bringing on our first vendor here in a couple of seconds. I'll talk about a couple of things, but we're going to start bringing them on. Mm-hmm. First of all, we just want to remind everybody that we do have a COVID-19 resource page. If you go to teamlally.com, you can click on the banner that's right at the top, and it's going to go to our resource page. Couple things that we have on there, you know, resources for the websites that you can go to get the latest updates. And what else do we got on there?
So we have information pertaining to the Paycheck Protection Program. As new updates are coming out, it seems like things are changing day to day, hour by hour.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been updating that. We've been putting stuff out about the EIDL loan as well. As again, things with that program have been changing day by day and hour by hour. So
yeah, so we'll take this part of the show to talk about the things that we're doing to keep people safe.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, you know, like when we come into the studio, one of those adult mature things that we do is we're bringing in our own headphones, because you don't want to have something that's on you that was used by somebody else in the studio. So we're bringing in our own headphones. Mm-hmm. We're covering the microphones with paper towels that we're bringing in. We're wiping down all the surfaces. And then all of our guests, before our guests used to come into the studio, but now they're call-in guests.
Yep.
And so just doing the show, if you're thinking, well, how are we doing the show and maintaining our safety protocols, that is one of them. All right, so we got Duke on the line.
Yep, we have Duke from Hawaii Pacific Property Management with his tip of the week. Duke, what you got for us today?
Oh, real quick. You know, we had some termite infestation in some of the homes over the last 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the owners were kind of wondering how to handle that with a tenant in their units. So, you know, I just put out a video on our website about the termite issues and how to handle them. But if you are confused or have some questions about termites in your rentals, then give me a call, because I can certainly shed some light on that. But if you have a tenant in your home and you find termite in there, it's probably the worst news as an owner you want to get. Two things have to happen. One, you got to do a termite tent, or you got to get a termite inspection right away.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you're going to have to displace your tenant. So both of those things are bad, and both of those things will cost an owner money. Make sure your property management company is involved in your termite treatment, because you cannot keep somebody in there when you put a tent over their house and they're probably going to be gone for a couple days. And that's not to mention the 3 hours of prepping that they have to do to bag up all their perishable goods or take them out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some really big wishes to put on a tenant. And then not to compensate them for it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So anyway, you can't charge rent for days that your tenant doesn't spend in your house.
Yeah.
And then what happens, Duke, when you, the tenant is displaced in a hotel? The owner pays for the hotel?
That would be the easiest way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you're not going to charge them rent, so you have to give them a credit back on that. On top of that, they have to go find another place to stay. So those are some things that you have to work out with your property management company. Maybe your property management company has another place that's furnished that they could stay in for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And your owner could just pay that fee versus a hotel fee. But, you know, regardless, you're going to have to get your tenants out. So bad news all the way around.
Yeah.
But if you have a property manager who can take care of all that for you, if you're an owner that lives off island, mm-hmm. then, you know, if you were our owner, we would certainly try and mitigate both those issues for you as soon as possible.
Now, we were talking with John Speed, the owner of Kilauea Pest Control, and they have it's not foolproof, and I'm sure they'll make the recommendation for tenting, but they have the ability to spot treat. Have you ever had used spot treatment for termites, or has it always been the fumigation?
No. In a townhome or a condo, that's your only option for sure.
But,
you know, we've tried everything from the orange oil all the way down, and spot treatment is okay and temporary.
Yeah.
But, you know, the colonies of termites will find a way.
Yeah.
They'll go eat some other place.
Chasing them around the unit.
Yeah. And it's just been a lose-lose situation anytime we discover termites.
Yeah.
So
good to have you guys in place to handle that, because that can be kind of a stressful thing, you know, especially somebody right now, you got a rental, you got a day job, you're trying to home shelter, and then you're trying to manage your property. I'd rather have you guys dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, our costs are all tax deductible. So, you know, before we go ahead and initiate any kind of repair on your unit, the biggest fear of an owner is to have repairs done.
Yeah.
So they always think that the invoices are being marked up or somebody's not giving me an honest answer. So, you know, we've had owners just reflex action say, give me three quotes. And I'd be like, Mr. Owner, you know, three quotes from a plumber is $450.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yep.
Yeah, because people don't go out to your house to give you quotes on jobs for free in Hawaii. AC companies charge you.
Yeah, all the appliance people.
Electricians charge you. Appliance people charge you. No one goes for free. Maybe they do it in the mainland, but in Hawaii, it's time and it's money.
And especially now, right, during these uncertain times.
Yeah, nobody's going to want to be traipsing through your house for a maybe that I might get the job. They're like, no. No.
Yeah, and plus the tenants won't let them in.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to postpone any maintenance calls for now, or make sure that we negotiate with the tenants that they won't be home and that they see everybody wearing a face mask, because that's a new thing right now.
Yeah, face mask and gloves. Yep.
Got to be with face masks out in the public.
Yeah. So, I know, if you're shopping at the NEX now, they won't let you in without a face mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, before they let you take your face mask off, couldn't even wear a baseball hat in the banks, but now you can.
Now you can go in with, you know, guns, sunglasses, face mask, baseball cap, whatever, you know. They're like, yeah, come in. You can come rob us, but don't give us coronavirus, okay?
That's right.
And then I just want to circle back to what you said about the three quotes. You guys have done the research. You know, you represent hundreds of owners. So I would trust that you guys have done the research and that, and think about it, Duke, and correct me if I'm wrong, that relationship with you and your company is more valuable than with a single client, correct?
Well, you know, we value all the relationships, but for sure the vendors are our trusted people.
Yeah.
You know, they're an extension to what we do.
They're part of your team.
And I look over all the invoices every day
on
my daily routine. Sometimes I see stuff that I kind of just go, and then I call and I say, well, what does this mean? You know, when someone finds this and this in there, and they'll explain it to me, and then we'll know who to charge.
Yeah.
Because if we see an invoice that is due to the negligence of the tenant, then we're going to charge the tenant for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's great news that you are so diligent.
So you're not just an open checkbook, you know,
with the client's
with
money.
With the client's money on the property. You're always, I think what you've always said it before, you're protecting the property and protecting their income.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's so tough to see and deal with owners who have had bad experiences with other property management companies.
Yeah.
Then they come and then, you know, lay all that on me. And I just say, you know, Mr. Homeowner, I'm sorry, but if you don't trust me as your homeowner, or property manager, then probably not going to work out in our relationship, because I work for the owners.
Yeah.
There's only two reasons why you would have a property manager. One, to protect your property. Two, to put money in your account.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the reasons why I get up in the morning, And, you know, our company works 7 days a week, so we're on it.
And you answer your phones. And you answer your phones.
Yeah, that's one of their big things. I know, Duke, I've been to your, you know, just sat in on some of your 10 meetings just to check it out. And I know you're mentioning that to everybody over and over and over. Answer your phone. Make sure you get on those phones. The other thing that I wanted to share with you guys is the with the way that you guys are, you know, give us an update on what's happening with this COVID-19 and tenants and owners. What's some changes or some new things that you're seeing that you already mentioned?
The amount of freedom to go in and out of the units have changed, and I think it'll be that way for a while.
Yeah.
The other thing is that we're mitigating the best we can with tenants and their time, and showings.
Yeah.
Showings are a tough thing, but you know, some of our PMs are going out to showings and staying in their car, unlocking the home and saying, hey, go inside, do your thing. When you leave, I'll lock it up. Or they're doing 6 feet, you know, ahead, saying, hey, stay right there. Let me open up the house. I'll walk inside, turn on the air for you, and then you walk through, and then I'll turn everything off when you leave.
Yeah.
Either way, we've had really busy March before what was going on. We rented 26 properties in March, you know, we're halfway through April now, and I'm about to break that. I think we're at 15 right now for the 15th. So one a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been busy. So people are still renting. We're still getting notices from a lot of military personnel leaving the island in the next 30 to 60 days. So some PCSing is going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as changes, I mean, staying safe and making sure my people are safe is probably my first concern. The second concern is make sure that your tenants are safe and then your owners.
Mm-hmm.
These houses rented out and put on the market as soon as possible.
Now, people's perspectives are being affected by what they're seeing in the media. On a national level, what they're saying is a third of Americans that are renting have not been able to or chose not to pay their rent. So 30%. What kind of percentages are you seeing of the total number of properties that you guys manage that they just, for some reason, couldn't make their rent?
12%. I mean, I have 700-plus properties. We have 12 people who had to make payment arrangements.
Okay.
Of the 12, 8 of them paid more than half their rent to begin with.
Yeah.
And then I have 2 out of the 12 that just has no communication and just refused to cooperate.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as soon as the court system lights back up, my neighbor is a federal court judge. And he told me that the legal system is getting backed up right now.
Yep.
So he is really concerned about trying to get the court system open again.
Yeah.
Just for the normal daily log that they have.
Yeah.
And he says, on top of that, you know, you try not work for 30 days and see what happens to your business. So the caseloads at the courthouse are just backlogging right now, and they're worried about it.
You know, that alone should be giving, you know, we don't want to sell fear, but just with everything you're talking about, I think you guys are well worth the PM fees that you guys charge for just that alone, dealing with all of that.
You know, if you're an owner and you like to do things yourself, then great. You know, there's 225,000 approximate rentals on this island.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who think they can just manage their own properties, and that's awesome. And I meet those people all the time. They ask me questions. They talk to me about values and rental values in their neighborhoods and stuff, but you don't have any data to back up what you guys do. You're going to have to talk to a realtor or talk to a property manager just to see what the values are, to see what the latest and greatest things are. And, you know, some of these homeowners that do it themselves, they're always amazed at the new technology that the plumbers, the electricians, and all these people have. We have all that. We have those people coming to our office. We're updated on all the latest and greatest things about pest control, about tenting, about fumigation. You know, all this stuff is science, and they're constantly changing. So to get a property manager who has a little bit of knowledge on the new drywall, the new ways they do stucco now, we have all that stuff.
Yeah.
We have all the people coming into our office. So,
well, you know, I always like to
get a property manager.
Yeah. Get a property manager. You know what? Don't get any property manager. Get
Duke and his team.
Duke and his team. Last thing I always want to leave you guys with, you know, it's always good to tell a story. So here's my story is that Duke, you know, and you're a big pet lover, right? I know you guys even donate a little bit to the
Humane Society.
Humane Society?
Yep.
Yep.
Your company?
Yearly. Yeah, it's our biggest cause that we donate to.
So, absolutely. And you know how, like, when rescue dog, right? Rescue dog, you get them, some of them, they might not have been treated very well by their past owners. They're kind of shy, you know, hand shy.
I think I know where you're going with this.
You have rescue owners. They got all beat up by their last property manager. They're, you know, you try and pet them, you know, and they're like, hey, social distancing, stay away from me. But they're not trustworthy. So you have rescue owners that you're working with right now.
So it's a process.
It's a process. But
it's a process. Yeah. You got to show them a little love in the beginning.
Well, here's what I tell everybody. Don't take our word. Well, take our word for it. Adrian and I personally have Duke and his team manage our own personal property. Yep. So we're not advising you of something we're not doing ourselves. And number two, if you don't believe anybody right now that's talking, go on Yelp. You guys have awesome Yelp reviews.
We've got great Yelp reviews.
Yeah. And that's it.
I think we're the only property management company that has over 100 reviews.
So. Yeah. Nice.
That says something.
Happy with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks, Duke.
Thank
Be
you.
Safe. Stay
Thank
healthy.
Thank you, Duke.
All right.
All right. So you can get a hold of Duke and his team at 445-9223. That's 445-9223. Check them out on hipacificpm.com.
All right. Next up, we got Jody, the mortgage genius. Jody, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Jody. What you got going for us this week? Anything COVID related, non-COVID related?
Rates. What's happening?
Rates are still looking good. We kind of Monday and Tuesday started off a little bit weaker, but still good. I mean, still all good in the grand scheme of things. And then we did see an improvement today. So all of our recommendations throughout, especially for buyers, have been locked.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to mention about, I think most people know about this, but the ones I have talked to, I've talked to a lot, and no one has actually made the calls yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to remind everyone that if you have been impacted by COVID-19, especially your work hours, especially your income, to call your mortgage servicer and find out about the details associated with the 90-day deferment.
Yeah.
All servicers are handling it different.
Yes.
But I do think it's worth it to call. And a lot of people have called me, which I will call the servicer with you and stay on the line and stay on hold until we can work through answers together. But even though I closed your loan, I'm not the one that has the answers. We have to call your mortgage servicer.
Well, so you're being the source. You're being the source of the source. You're not the source. You're being helpful in pointing them in the right direction.
So, and then every servicer is going to have slightly different setups with this deferment program, right? Depending on if they're like a smaller credit union or a big bank like Wells Fargo.
So other than communicating with them, what's the other big thing you want to give heads up on people on that? Communicate. What's another one?
Well, I mean, just make sure you understand what's being said. And if you don't understand what's being said, then elevate upwards. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is ask the person you're speaking to, can I talk to your manager? Because I don't understand what you're telling me.
Yeah.
I did have a conversation with one of our buyers came into my office and we actually called together.
Because
I wanted to hear how the conversation went. And it was an uphill battle, I'm not going to lie. It was a difficult conversation. And it was just not an easy conversation. So we had to really work to get these answers on, is this going to impact my credit score? Are there going to be late payments reported?
Mm-hmm.
How is this going to impact my balance in the future? All these types of questions. And do I qualify for it? Because that's a whole nother thing is you can't just decide. A couple people called me and they're like, oh yeah, I'm not making my mortgage payment. And I was like, oh, okay. Did you do the process? You know, did you submit the request, the COVID-19 related request to defer your mortgage payment? Oh, no, because I heard it on the radio that I get to just not make my mortgage payments for 3 months.
Well, okay. Well, here's another thing you're going to hear on the radio. Everybody on the island of Oahu should list your home with Team Lally. Hey, you know, you heard it on the radio, so that means you should do it.
Yeah, I think you've got to, you have to go through the process. You can't just like bury your head in the sand and not pay. So I know, for example, I've got some mortgages with Wells Fargo, and they made it very easy and very clear as far as what that process is, and you know, if they're going to be reporting late on the credits, which Wells Fargo will not be, and just a very easy back and forth communication through their messaging system.
And they were proactive about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the time, you know, things are different. Mm-hmm. And so businesses are either being proactive, reactive, or, you know, somewhere in between that, or even on the other ends of the spectrum.
They're in denial.
Or just not helpful at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's exactly the advice we're giving everybody, Jody.
Communicate.
I'm just going to stop making my mortgage payments and all your payments because of COVID-19.
Communication.
Yes. Would be number one. By the way, correct, you know, what's been your experience, Jody? Every single of the sites that I was looking at, for me personally, they had banners right on the first page for COVID-19.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like hard to find on the website. They had links right on the front page. And then one of them, I'll tell you one now. PennyMac is one that I have on my personal home. And I think because the mortgage is so small, but I clicked on it, and then it had click here to fill out a short survey, and it just kept sending me in an endless loop. So
that's when you got to pick up the phone.
Yeah. So I got to pick up the phone. Here's the other thing, folks. You're going to be on hold. I was trying to get something with Border Water Supply. I think I was on hold for 30 minutes, and finally I just did the call me back thing. But you're going to be on hold. All call volumes on all of this stuff is through the roof. And by the way, you home sheltering till the end of the month. What else you got to do? You know, so do like Jody has the number one tip. If you're on hold for a long time, she hide in the bathroom. Lock the kids out. But you know what I got? Being on hold is not that big of a deal. Here's my tip. I just have wireless headphones, or I get headset and I just clip my phone to my, you know, I just walk around and I'm doing other chores while I'm on hold. So, what else you got for us, Jody?
Well, that was my main tip.
Okay.
I just want to make sure people are utilizing their resources and getting, you know, the help that they need, but doing it the right way, not just saying I'm not making my mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Jody. Very helpful information. And we'll look forward to your update again next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Stay safe. All right. So you can get a hold of Jody and her team at 488-5510. Check them out at packremmtg.com. We have a new commercial that we're putting out from Barbara Corcoran. She had done a new spot for us. So you guys look out. It's going to be playing on the news.
Mm-hmm.
We also wanted to share some information we recently got from Barbara. She appeared on Good Morning America and was answering some pretty intense questions, I think, from consumers on their rental properties and their owner occupied.
Let's let them hear it.
All right.
Americans across the country are trying to adjust to the many challenges brought on by this crisis. We know at least 10 million people are out of work in just the past 2 weeks. That's obviously making it hard for people to pay their bills, including rent and mortgage payments. Let's bring in Shark Tank's Barbara Corcoran to answer some of your tough questions this morning. And Barbara, thanks for being with us. We're going to start with Melisha. She's one of millions of Americans worried about making those rent payments. She rents her home. Take a listen.
I see that homeowners have been receiving assistance and coverage for their mortgages, but what happens to the renters that are renting from them that are receiving this forgiveness? How are renters supposed to make it through this crisis?
Yeah, Barbara, what are her options?
Well, all renters are in a tough spot right now, and hopefully there's more help coming, but already in most of the states, we have moratoriums, so tenants cannot be evicted, and that's good to remember. And that's through May, and chances are very good they'll extend that month by month. If someone has lost their job because of the illness or because of the pandemic, they should be calling their landlord right away and simply telling them that they're struggling. And chances are very good that landlords today will defer some of their rent. Defer simply means not that you get off scot-free, but that you pay less now and then you make up for it later when you're back on your feet.
And Barbara, let's go from renting to home ownership. For the week of March 22nd, there's been a 34% drop in new listings compared to this time last year. And our viewer, Irma from Los Angeles, she's wondering whether she should move forward with her plans to buy a house. Take a look.
With the pandemic that's going on right now, is this the right time to purchase a home? My goal was by the end of the year to purchase a home, but the rates are low right now. Should I take advantage of that or should I wait? What is your input on that?
That's a very good question. Barbara, you're the ultimate real estate expert. So should she wait or not? And what do you see happening to inventory and prices over the next week or the next weeks or next months?
Let me answer Irma's question first directly to her. Yes, Irma, you should be moving forward despite your concerns and your fears, and that's quite natural. Interest rates are at an all-time low. But remember, in the LA market, there's a short supply of homes, and there has been continuing rising prices. If you wait, you're just going to pay more for that house once the market is flooded by buyers. So now is really the time to get ready, get pre-qualified for your mortgage so you know what you can borrow, and get out shopping so that you really know values and you know to move early and you'll be there first once the market resumes. And about the real estate, if you want me to keep talking, I will.
Keep going. Okay?
But the real estate market in general, I would love to address. The real estate market is stalled right now, but one thing for sure is it ain't going away. Agents can't show, buyers can't shop, and sellers are scared. But lower price homes, interestingly, across the nation are selling very well despite what's going on. And once the market resumes, this real estate market across the board is going to explode. And there's one thing to always remember, in uncertain times, there's always deals to be had. So if you're brave of heart and you're out there actually being aware of what values are and watching what's going around, you're going to recognize a sweetheart deal when you see it. And everybody gets a sweetheart deal in a tough market if they're brave enough to keep out there. And that's where buyers should be if they're serious about buying.
All right, Barbara. And also, we've been talking about renters, but there are also the people who own those rental properties who have concerns. Leon is worried about his loss of income. Let's take a listen.
I have four rental units that I purchased in the last 7 years. Recently, I lost two tenants due to the outbreak. I am afraid that I won't be able to cover mortgage payments, taxes, and insurance at the end of the year. What would you do in my situation?
Yeah, Barbara, what can Leon and other landlords do in these times?
Well, Leon, there's really no perfect answer, but I could certainly tell you what I would do. I would get in touch with my two biggest people that are giving me the biggest bills, which are the mortgage company and your taxes, okay? If you address those two big bills, it's going to make a big difference. You should reach out to your lender to see what they're willing to do. Commercial lenders right now are either waiving interest rates and late fees, they're converting loans to interest only, or they're even, in some instances, offering to defer payments until this epidemic is over. So you won't know unless you reach out to them and see what they're willing to do. Next, you should contact your tax authority and stay in touch with what their position is. It's always changing, and everybody's making deals right now. Every town makes their own deals, and you should know what that is. And last of all, you should not be desperate and sell those units. You've worked hard for 7 years to own them, and once this whole thing is over, they're going to jump up in value. So the last thing you want to do is think about unloading those homes.
All right, Barbara Corcoran, as always, incredible advice.
Aloha, all our friends in Hawaii. This is Adrian.
And Attilio of Team Lally.
We know many need to move and have a lot of questions.
Don't worry, modern technology has made the selling process easy so you don't need to ever meet the buyer.
Homes are selling and we're going to get through this.
If you need any advice on home repairs, about your home or your mortgage, we're happy to help.
Go to our resource page at teamlally.com/COVID-19.
Be safe and aloha.
The Team Lally Real Estate Show continues.
So welcome back and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the Guaranteed Sold Program, or we'll buy it. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Attilio.
And if you have any questions, just give us a call at 799-9596. You can check us out online at teamlally.com.
Well, big thank you to Barbara Corcoran for that insightful information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's somebody that does endorse us exclusively here in Hawaii. But the other thing I want to share with you, we've had a chance to personally meet her and dialogue with her. Really sharp lady. Thank you so much for her input on what's happening with this recent COVID-19.
And she's been through a lot of different types of markets.
Yeah.
And
her advice,
don't worry. Insightful.
Hang in there. Stay calm. Everything's going to be okay. So speaking of people that help you stay calm and remind us that everything's going to be okay and they're getting into their community is Andrea.
Tupola.
Hi, Andrea. Are you there?
Yeah, good. How are you guys?
Good. So we have, I got this super long intro from Wikipedia, but we're not going to read it because it's, but you know, I had a quick question for you. Did you look at the information that's for you on Wikipedia? Is that something that you participate in or?
Yeah, I mean, of course, anybody can change with
Wikipedia. Yes. So, but it's wow, there's a lot of stuff on here. You graduated from Kamehameha Schools, you went off to college.
I think we talk about what's happening most recently with her. She is definitely a well-accomplished politician and, mm-hmm. and person in our community. And also a repeat guest. She was on our show last year, and
yeah.
That was an amazing show. So welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, and we're excited to hear that you're going to be running for the Honolulu City Council District 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we see you out there on the west side doing a lot for the community, especially during this time of need. So, we wanted to bring you on and help you, you know, spread that information and that aloha.
So, question for you: what, you know, what's causing you to take your life in this direction? Why politics and all of that?
Well, you know, when I first ran for office way back in 2014. You know, I had helped a candidate run for president in 2012. I got involved because I live in Venezuela. I don't know if a lot of people know that about me. I am born and raised in Hawaii, but when I was 23, I lived in Venezuela. I did a mission for my church. And after being in that very intense political environment, realizing what it's like to have no rights, realizing what it's like to have no voice and just an extreme amount of government control. I came back from Venezuela a different person. I was very politically minded. My eyes were wide open to policies that people were talking about, things that they were implementing into the community. So I got involved on a pretty grassroots level, just volunteered, signed waves, did some phone calls. And then from there, you know, the person I was helping didn't end up winning. And people said, hey, you know, you should stay involved, which of course I was like, what should I do? Should I go volunteer? I want to be like the best volunteer out there. They said, no, you should run for office.
Yeah.
I was like, why would I run for office? I mean, I'm a music professor at University of Hawaii. I have no political background. I have two music degrees. And people are like, that's perfect. You don't have an agenda. You want to help the people. And at the time, I didn't really understand what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I wanted time to pray about it and think about it. So after thinking on it, you know, and understanding that running for office in my mind was reaching out, hearing people's concerns, devising plans of how to create community-based solutions. Again, that's what I thought it was. I was like, I'm all in. I can do this. Like, I've knocked doors in other countries. I've talked to thousands of people. If that's what running for office is, like, I want to be a part of collecting voices because I'm a voice teacher. I love hearing voices. So originally, when I first ran, that's how I got involved.
Yeah. Well, speaking of voices, Adrian, how did Andrea come back on your radar? And let's get into that.
Oh, well, I mean, of course, we're friends on social media and I always follow you and all you always have relevant information that you're putting out. And I noticed that you were pushing out a Zoom meeting or connection weekly so that we can all stay informed with what's going on, how we can serve, how we can help, how we can remain safe. So I thought, wow, this is great. We have to help her spread this information. Let's have her back on the show.
Yeah. So tell us about this COVID. I'm just going to call it a COVID-19 Zoom. They're every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Who's going to be? You talk about having community partners on there. So next week Wednesday, who's going to be your community partner, or what are you guys going to be talking about?
Right. So next week Wednesday, we're actually having Hawaii USA join us, talk about the different financial tools that their bank is offering, and
okay.
also what other people across the state can use in regards to money management, because we're really in a health and economic crisis right now.
Yeah.
And so this week, on April 15th, you know, interviewing the chair of the Board of Education is going to be the topic of conversation. You know, aside from our frontline healthcare workers and our economic financial situation,
mm-hmm.
shortly after that, the main concern across the state is, what are we doing about our education system? And we have kids that are going through some trauma from not really knowing if they're going to walk or graduate, or what the terms are by which they can graduate. And of course, other families in, you know, concerned about regression,
mm-hmm.
concerned that for these past couple months, there hasn't been a lot of guidance from the Department of Education public school system. So where are we going and what are we doing? So again, the topics that we touch, as far as I'm concerned, they're topics that are affecting everyone. So last week, our topic was how to access food, you know, basic food outreach, which seems to be happening across the state. People are asking, like, how do I access that? Who's in charge of it? You know, I've been laid off for 3 weeks now and we're really needing some help. So mm-hmm. we went through all the services that were available. As far as I was concerned and people that I was interfacing with, people were able to ask questions live. So if you want to register, you can go to bit.ly/Community Resources Hawaii. It's something that I started because I really felt like in this digital age where now people can't physically talk to each other, it's mm-hmm. so important for us to just like, boom, create a webinar and say, guys, jump in. If you really care, ask questions live, type in the chat box. Let's learn how to use these tools and let's jump ahead and get this
yeah.
done now.
So could they also go onto your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram under Vote to Pula? And
yeah.
the links are all there?
Yeah, there's multiple ways to contact me or get involved. You know, I run a nonprofit that does a lot of community work,
yeah.
which is where we're running this initiative out of. But I also do a lot of community stuff through my office, as well as running as a candidate for city council.
Now, so, you House of Representatives, and then you got reelected, and then you were the, I see in here, first Samoan woman to serve as the House Minority Leader. And then in 2018, you ran for governor. So why city council now?
I was approached by the city councilwoman in our area, and this was early in January. She
yeah.
had mentioned, you know, that she didn't have anyone running, which, you know, I wasn't really thinking about it. I love handling city issues,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not necessarily the person that's out there scouting out what office I should run for next. I just want to be in a place where I can make the biggest impact. And so when she reached out, she had mentioned that there wasn't a lot of people that were coming forward that she thought could do the job. As you know, city council is 4 times as large as the state house seat. It's
mm-hmm.
a huge area on the island of Oahu from Eva all the way to So I started to pray on it. I started to think on, you know, what type of impact could I make on the city level and how would it help my community? I do cleanups. I love doing recycling. Of course, I love
mm-hmm.
murals where we deter vandalism, which is also a city thing. I've done pedestrian flag programs so that we could help to keep our community safe when we cross Barrington Highway. So there's a lot of things that I naturally started to do when I was a state house rep. That kind of, you know, delved into those city issues. And so once I thought on it, prayed on it, talked with my husband, you know, I started to think, like, there's never a dearth of things to learn. There's always more things to be learned. And
yeah.
why not expand my knowledge in the city issues, seeing as though homelessness touches everyone, crime touches everyone, permitting times and affordable housing affects
yeah.
everyone in our state. So I'm excited to learn some new content.
So, District 1, could you tell us what cities does that...
Yeah, what communities does that cover?
Involve? Yep.
Yeah, so District 1 is going to be Eva, Kapolei, Makakilo, Nanakuli, Maili, all the way to Waianae, Makaha side. So that's the Kalailoa, Barbers Point area mm-hmm. as well. And many of you know that, you know, having a city council member geographically represent you is one thing, but it's another thing to know that there is somebody out there that wants to represent your voice, meaning that when we take votes, when I was a legislator, even though I was representing the West Side, the votes we take affect everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that are out there wondering who's listening. You know,
yeah.
one of the community members I just talked to last week about the high volume of tourists still coming out to Makua, which is a beach way far west on our side.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm so sorry to talk off your ear, but I rarely get anyone listening to my concerns. I was like, oh, no, it's okay. Go ahead. Like,
yeah.
I'm here to listen.
And what do you think, you know, it's, I'm always talking with politicians. We talk them all the time. And, you know, I'll come to you from a constituent standpoint is like, hey, what is this person going to do for me? And how is it going to directly affect me in the community? You know, with that, the underlying foundation of the question, what are you hoping to achieve in this position at city council? And we're going to speak it like you already got mm-hmm. it. What are you hoping to achieve? Top one or two things.
Well, I think top one has to be, you know, in regards to housing and homelessness. We've seen the city, specifically the city and county of Honolulu, we've seen them take kind of, you know, different approaches towards housing, or maybe housing first, or wraparound services, or let's start a index of every person so that we don't duplicate. Let's do this. And I think there's been various services that have come out that are helpful, mm-hmm. but I still haven't seen any real out-of-the-box, community-based, grassroots solution that can last long enough to outlast a grant or a federal or state or city funding. Mm-hmm. So once funding dries up, then all of a sudden, you know, the government takes a turn. And that's the unfortunate part, is like a lot of our efforts, a lot of our solutions are based around a grant that was written or an idea. And then once that politician's done, or once that money dries up, then, oh, let's go a different direction. So I'm really hoping to kind of dig down deep into that, because I personally interact with many homeless encampments across the West Side. And specifically, our current council member approached me because she said, I really think you could make a huge difference in
sure.
homelessness and crime, even bigger than what we've made, because you have a different perspective. And so I'm hoping to make a difference there. And in regards to housing as well, you know, there's definitely that need for it. It's the number one expense that people have, whether it's rent or mortgage. And then, of course, in regards to crime, you know, this island is plagued with this revolving door, where it's just like we keep seeing the same people getting let go for the same minimal things, and then and making the quality of life decrease for the residents of Hawaii. So I'm looking into those two, and of course I'm not going to forget about my love of recycling and reduced reuse, because I'm huge about
yeah.
that. And that waste is something that the city handles, and so it's something that I do every year. I do it four times a year across the coast. I mean, typically we're hauling between 15 and 30 abandoned cars. We haul maybe between 4 and 5 tons of trash
yeah.
and around 190 tires every cleanup. So I definitely think that I can get into that issue and start to study why it is that it's kind of a broken system, and why we see an increase of abandoned cars and illegal dumping.
So it sounds like you guys are already getting to work, I think is what, through your nonprofit, that you do a lot of this community work. If any of our listeners want to sign up or come and be a part of that, how would they do that?
So you can go to empowerhawaii.org. So again, that's the nonprofit, the community work we do. I highlighted there, it's various events that we do for the community, but many of them are projects which we do outreach for. Currently, right now, I'm working on a project with the Croc Center. So we deliver meals to Kupuna and families in need.
Yep.
Monday of this week, we delivered 3,000 meals.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we know that. I was listening to a podcast, Meals on Wheels, and our family household did Meals on Wheels for 10, 11 years in our community. But 95% of the deliveries are done by volunteers, and mm-hmm. they're having a hard time getting those deliveries done. So it's good that you guys are getting involved in doing that. Thank you so much. You know, I had a question. I was reading on Hawaii News Now by the reporter Daryl Huff. By the way, I know Daryl. He goes to my church. He was a fellow scout leader in the Kapolei community. So hello, Daryl Huff. April 8th, he talked about, what are your thoughts on this? The title of it was Politicians Vote for Raises. And then I got some notes with explicatives below it. So I'm not going to repeat those, because this is a, you know, it's a rated G show. But it starts off with, as thousands of Oahu people lose their jobs, city supporters support raises for its leadership. The Honolulu Salary Commission was holding its third public hearing of the year, seeking comments on the raise proposals that come from a commission subcommittee on February 28th. It recommends a 3% increase pretty much across the board for council members, city department heads. It talks about... the mayor's salary would be raised from, you know, this amount to that amount. Council members technically part-time would see their pay raises from $68,904 to $79,68. The only raise higher than 3% would be 11% for the deputy medical examiner. That, I'm like, that person's having a hard time right now. So they probably deserve that. But what are your thoughts on the politicians voting for raises when we got people that are losing their jobs and they're just trying to figure out where their next meal is? What are your thoughts?
You know, when that article came out, people were very disturbed seeing that the economic issue across Hawaii is that people have been calling the unemployment office to no avail. One guy told me he called 180 times and nobody answered. He said he tried to submit forms, but the online system was backed up. Realizing that there was going to be a huge quantity of people needing assistance, you know, the unemployment office then hired some additional staff, but it's still not enough because from what I understand, up over 200,000 people in our state looking for unemployment relief. At this time, hearing that they're even discussing a pay raise is just hurtful to our community.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a leader, you're supposed to lead by example.
Yeah.
So if other people are hurting, then go out there and feel the pain with them. You know, empathize, see what you can do to help, no matter if it is affecting you or it's not. It's unfortunate that in the secondary proclamation, they call it the supplementary proclamation, that specifically our governor exempted. So he uses the word suspended. There are certain things that are suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And so they suspended public records laws, which no other state did. And unfortunately, by suspending public record laws, you are not required to follow the procedures of open disclosure. So that was one. But one of them was that the salary commission was considered essential.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go back and look at that because that's the reason why they're convening right now. So if they were deemed non-essential, they wouldn't be convening. But the governor saw fit that they were essential. Therefore, they need to convene. And what does the salary commission discuss? Salary.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he knew that and that they knew that that's what the salary commission was going to do, to me, that just shows intention. Like, what was your intention by calling something like the salary commission essential during this time? And I hear what you guys are saying as far as certain people needing those raises. And maybe that's the case. They call them essential and they take care of those workers that really need those raises. But this is not what we want to hear when we hear that elected officials get raises and that we haven't seen the governor himself say, you know what, I'm taking a pay cut. And my administration's taking a pay cut because everyone's hurting right now.
Yeah, and if certainly not a pay cut, don't be so proactive towards getting a raise. I mean, holy cow.
Be more proactive about getting more people in the unemployment office to help our people so they can, you know, file their claims.
Yeah, and what was also upsetting about reading this information is that, you know, I've gone down there to provide testimony. And with COVID-19 in place, it's all closed. So these... Mm-hmm. You know, we have this technology. My request, and would you agree with me, Andrea, that when this is all settled out, this COVID-19, things are not going to be 100% the same as they were pre-corona. We are going to have new normals. So my suggestion would be city council. I don't know if this is happening, but not Olelo or something that's shown at 3:00 in the morning, but get a camera in that city council room,
mm-hmm.
put it on Zoom. Allow anybody to log in.
Facebook Live it.
Make it open to the public. Utilize today's technology and have somebody moderating, you know, if somebody wants to give testimonial through that process. But, you know, just like everything, let's like, what is it? Full disclosure is what you mm-hmm. talked about?
Yeah. I mean, I think that option was available for years now. When I was a legislator, you know, we had proposed that all of our hearings be streamed live, and these guys come up with every excuse, like, oh, we don't have the capability. Oh, we'd have to create a new department. Oh, we don't know if we could afford it. I mean, you can use my phone. I mean,
yeah.
I can go live.
How about Facebook Live? We get you one tripod with one light ring. You put them right in the center. Go Facebook Live. Put them in the landscape mode. It's easy. It's free.
No, she's already ready for this. She's a pro at this going live. I'll tell you, she's got a lot of followers and people that engage. So
anyway, we're coming to the end of our part of the show to have you on. We always appreciate you coming on. We definitely probably have you back on.
Mm-hmm.
What's some final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners?
You know, I just wanted to share that the place where we're at is due to the leaders that we choose.
Yes.
So I have been studying across the nation, governors, their plans, because I'm wondering, you know, where we fall in the spectrum of response, where we fall in the spectrum of cases and of economic need. So when I study this and I see the governor of Utah who made a economic plan with timelines in March.
Mm-hmm.
So they released a plan in March as to how they were going to address the urgent phase, address the recovery phase, and address the stabilization phase. I'm thinking in my head, like, wait, there are governors that are making plans, and the governor of New York, who is inundated with cases, he's creating a plan. And I'm like, okay, so this guy, he has way more on his plate than our state, way more residents, way more cases, but they're quickly making a plan of how they can stabilize, reopen, stimulate the economy. He called it a smarter approach with a acute healthcare approach at the same time as stimulating the economy. I mean, these guys are thinking through the bigger picture, and I'm encouraging people because we live in a country where you can vote. I lived in Venezuela. Like, you can definitely vote there, but they're definitely not going to take your vote seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You can. There's a lot of different countries that don't allow for this level of access. So if you have a voice, then use it. If you get a vote, then cast it. Like, be a part of creating a better path forward for Hawaii. Don't just complain about it. Don't tag me on social media if you're not willing to engage.
Yeah, and don't do this, and don't comment on social media with some fake name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is to you keyboard warriors. You're so brave at home. You know, if you feel that you're making a valid contribution with your comment, put your first and last name on it.
And get out there and vote.
Yeah, and get out there and vote. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you, Andrea. Appreciate you.
Okay, thank you guys. Have a great day. Bye.
All right.
All right, so again, you can follow her at Vote Tupula on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. She also has a website, votetupula.com. She mentioned empowerhawaii.org as the nonprofit that she runs, and you can get out there and,
alrighty,
and help her out.
Yeah. So career night, we do have a career night coming up. It's going to be via Zoom.
Yes.
And when is that?
May 4th.
May 4th.
From 5 to 6. So be on the lookout. I think realestatecareerhawaii.com.
We don't even know our own domain names. HawaiiRealEstateCareer.com is what it is. If you go to TeamLally.com, you'll get there. This Zoom career night, we're going to be making it island wide. So anybody in the state of Hawaii, you are looking at getting involved in the real estate industry, doesn't matter what island you're on, so long as you're in the state of Hawaii, that's what we're going to be speaking to. Last thing, my self plug right here. I have called Duke and his team because I have a university studio that's vacant right now for $1,100.
Wow.
And it's clean. And you guys should call Duke and his team so you guys can help me get one renter in there.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and thank you to our sponsors.
And who are our sponsors?
Jody Tonga and Derek Tonga, Pacific Rim Mortgage.
Bradley Mariama of Allstate Insurance.
Kenji Vendetta of Pillar to Post Home Inspection.
Janice Merlin of Dreamhouse Drafting.
John Speed of Kilauea Pest Control.
Duke Kim Han of Hawaii Pacific Property Management.
Thomas Pattison of Pattison Land Surveying.
If you want to get a hold of any of our sponsors, just go to TeamLally.com.
We also want to give a big thank you to Leah, our producer here in the studio.
Chee-hoo!
Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have an awesome guest talking about something that'll change your life
forever. This is the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the guaranteed
sold program.
If you can't sell your home at the agreed upon price and or time frame, we'll have it bought for cash.
Be safe and aloha.
The preceding program was sponsored by Team Lally.